he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. Thank goodness it is Friday. It is the December 1st edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. President of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a mixed up Friday. It's kind of continuing the trend that we had yesterday where you had the Dow break out yesterday, just, you know, with the vengeance up 500 points, and yet the NASDAQ was down. And today we have the Dow following through. The Dow is up 79 points. I haven't really looked into it to see what's doing it. But the Dow is now at 36,030. That is a breakout through that July high resistance level. The NASDAQ, though, is down 38. It's at 14,191. We could be seeing a little bit of rotation out of the fabulous seven and spreading out into maybe some of the more low P.E. value type stocks. That's what I observed yesterday. Especially the healthcare stocks seem to be on the receiving end of some of that money leaving the big tech stocks. S&P up 1 point right now. It's right in the middle, 45.69. It's neutral. The small caps are also neutral today on this first day of December. Crude oil, well, OPEC was hoping for a big lift in prices. No, it's up 13 cents. The 76.09 after their production cut. And the 10-year is flat also today at 4.34%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now radio show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And like I say, it's a mixed open for the market. It was a mixed day yesterday. The story of the day yesterday for me, Barry, I don't know if you saw the chart I sent out this morning.
I did, yeah.
The Dow, which was on the verge of a death cross about 5 weeks ago, caught hold there, you know, as interest rates were hitting 5%. Interest rates came down to 4.25, 75 basis points basically in the month of November. And that boosted the Dow. It turned the Dow around. The Dow turned on a dime, you could say.
It was almost like it's like a sports game. They were, you know, they were down by three touchdowns in
it
the fourth
bad.
Quarter and came roaring back.
Yeah, it looked really bad. And then it breaks out yesterday. Now, you know, on the strength of one or two stocks, so that may come back. That breakout yesterday may come back to the breakout level. But we are seeing a little follow through today. It was the force. May the force be with you. Salesforce, which pushed the Dow to its breakout. Now, the NASDAQ and S&P are still fighting. They're struggling with that resistance level. But the Dow, with the Salesforce behind it, broke out through. That'll probably be the headline of this week's newsletter with the picture of that Dow move yesterday. The NASDAQ continues to struggle. And I did see some movement yesterday. Now, I don't know if this is a new trend, but no 2 years are alike in the market. I've just learned that over the years. There seems to be a lot of rotation that takes place in the month of December. Now, some of that rotation is window dressing, where you see mutual funds buying up the stocks that did so well this year, so it looks like they held them all year. But the real serious rotation takes place underneath that, and a lot of times you see rotation out of that which did good or well this year into other areas of the market. Now, we saw that in spades in January of this year, as the beaten down tech stocks saw the action coming into them. We spotted it, called the bottom in the NASDAQ on January the 6th, and that's been the place to be parked here. in 2023. But we're going to turn the page on a new year here in 30 days, and I don't think it will be the Magnificent Seven that led the market in 2023, continuing to lead the market in 2024. We're going to see some spreading out, and we could see some vicious rotation out of those big cap tech stocks, the NVIDIAs, the AMDs, the Microsofts, the Alphabets of the world, into maybe some lower PE type stuff. Yesterday, it seemed to be the healthcare sector. United Healthcare had a massive breakout yesterday, and of course, it's a lower PE ratio than Salesforce, which looks to me to be really overvalued at this level. So we'll continue to watch that. Maybe we saw yesterday the first day of some rotation. Who rotates? Is it the little guy, Barry? Am I going to move the market by moving, by lightening up on NVIDIA and, spreading out to United Healthcare and Humana and things like, no, it's Fidelity. It's T. Rowe Price. It's Vanguard. It's, the big institutions moving big bucks. And, they're rebalancing is what they're doing. They're looking at what did well here past year. They're lowering their exposure there.
Yeah.
And they're looking at things that underperformed here. Because, the market was in love this year with seven stocks.
Yeah. Right.
And that drove the market. You take out those seven stocks, those 10 stocks, whatever it was, and you had a flat year in the market. And now, they rode those for all their worth, rode hard, put away wet, like a racehorse, and they're jumping on fresher horses that missed out. That's just the general tone that I would expect. Now, to get more specific into the sectors and the stocks that they're plowing that money into, it's too early to tell. But the early indications, United Healthcare was definitely on the receiving end yesterday. That is one we own. It's one of our biggest positions. We took a stake in that fairly recently. And we started lowering our exposure to the Fabulous Seven. So anyways, that's just what I've noticed. It's too early to call a new trend. But I think it's safe to say, Barry, that there will be some new trends emerge.
Yeah, like you said, no 2 years are alike. And it's, of course, I think, when you look at 2024 and kind of trying to read the tea leaves, and as we, this is the time of year where everyone, as you've been mentioning, puts their thoughts together for what their outlook's going to be in 2024, kind of sounds weird to say, it's interesting because, you're likely going to have, at least a lower interest rates or lower interest rate expectations. Doesn't mean that we're going to, actually see a cut, and you could potentially see some slowing earnings potentially on the back half of the year, right? And almost a little bit of the game plan almost seems like it's kind of how we thought 2023 might play out. But, of course, without the AI tailwind where we were starting out in big tech.
Yes, and, I would say also that we could see a move from growth to value. Value got left behind. That's lower PE stocks. And I think it's possible. It's possible that we see a rotation out of mega caps, which dominated the market, and a spreading out into mid and small caps, which got left behind. Small cap value might be a fruitful place to be looking. And, in the app, you can break it down and you can do a search on what are the best high-ranked small-cap stocks this year at this current time and start watching those charts. And you can do the same with mid-cap value and large-cap value. That's just could be. That would be the logical place for money to move. But obviously we have to see some evidence of that. We could get a change in the S&P 500 It's I don't know if it's happened yet, but supposedly Uber is going to get a call up, a hail into the S&P 500 today. I'm not sure what it is that's leaving the S&P 500, but they're doing a rebalancing. Okay, that's another thing. All of the indexes are doing rebalancings right now. So, you know, the S&P is based on market capitalization. So obviously Uber has passed some company, I don't know which one it is, and could be replacing and entering into the S&P 500 today. That's quite a quite an accomplishment there. Somebody had an idea, Barry. Uber, ride-hailing, put the taxi business out of business.
Yeah.
Uber is hitting a new 52-week high today. It's up 0.75%. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Docs Now show. I was thinking about Uber here during the break, Barry. I could see, yesterday we gave the story of Price Club and Costco merging at some
right.
point instead of being fierce competitors. I could see Lyft. I think I could see some consolidation there. It's hard, you know, two ride-hailing services. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I would keep my eye on Lyft. Lyft has actually been performing pretty well. But, you know, let's just compare the two. Okay, Uber is a $117 billion company. I don't know who the genius was behind that.
Right.
But $117 billion is nothing to sneeze at. Lyft, on the other hand, is $4.7 billion. So I think Lyft, in order to survive, this is just a possibility here. I could see it merging with Uber because, I mean, Uber is just eating Lyft's lunch.
Yeah, so, the only thing there, I guess, would be what, and even a lot of those drivers would drive for both, right? Just depends.
Yeah.
Just depends on who pops up there. The only trick, I guess, maybe would be regulators, right? I
mean, yeah. Not to have competition, but
right.
That's a pretty small. It's not like two giants getting together. It's I think Lyft just out of a survival in survival mode, saying, "Okay, we give up. You beat us."
Yeah, and you got the Uber Eats side of it. Obviously, you got DoorDash on the
yeah.
other end as a competitor there. I was looking at one point. I was looking to see if DoorDash is potentially owned by Lyft. I guess you could see if they're not.
DoorDash has been a good stock. DoorDash went public on their own and is now $38 billion and hitting new highs. Well, new 52-week highs. I didn't think DoorDash would be a profitable company, but their earnings have been growing. Earnings. They're making money.
Yeah, they do
by 30 to 40% a year.
Yeah, and they do some interesting things, like, you know, at the restaurant level, where they're, you know, they provide some software and some other point of sale, materials right inside
right.
of restaurants. So it's not just, you know, it's not just we're picking up your, you know, the meal and taking it somewhere. So they do have some ancillary services there, which could, you know, could help, you know, helps kind of build their brand and helps them kind of stay in a restaurant versus just, you know, a restaurant not caring.
Well,
who does
and you know, delivery has become a big industry.
Yeah,
I
can call
crazy.
Right now and get some. I can have some chicken marsala at the door here.
Sure,
in
I could get a Christmas
yeah.
tree if I wanted. Just about anything you want. Well, the 30-year mortgage 7.22. That's pretty good. It's come down quite a bit. I still don't see people refinancing to 7.22, and I still think that puts a damper on people selling their home with a good mortgage rate and buying another one at 7.22, but that is down quite a bit. Last year at this time, it was 6.49, so we've seen a big disruption in the real estate sector. in 2023. I think things will be get better, hopefully. Things will soften up a little bit. It's interest rates. Not only are they driving stocks, they're driving real estate also. Now, there's talk today of a big, big merger in the healthcare industry. Cigna getting together with Humana, and both those stocks are up. I don't know what the status of this is, but they were in focus the day after the Wall Street Journal reported that the health insurers were in talk. Now, that one might have some regulatory
issues, right?
For a cash and stock merger creating a new healthcare powerhouse, Cigna. Cigna was down yesterday because they would be the purchaser. Humana was down also, but they're bouncing today. That could be one of the areas. The healthcare stocks got left behind in 2023, and United Healthcare had a massive breakout yesterday. United Healthcare is $510 billion in market cap, half a trillion. Let's see where Cigna is at. Cigna's way smaller at just $80 billion. And Humana is 60. So, yeah, those two, that would make sense. I mean, United Healthcare pretty much dominates from a public traded company. It's a half a trillion dollars, and these other guys are down in the mid-cap range. So it could make sense. Tesla's big deal yesterday didn't really wow anybody. Especially the stock. I just looked at the stock's reaction. It's down 2.6% today because I think it's going to take a while to really crank up the production of the Cybertrucks. When we see the first one in Charleston or Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, then you know they've probably are hitting a pretty good run rate coming out of. I don't know where they're building the Cybertruck.
I think when you. Yeah, and I know they rolled them out on the Austin, Texas plant, but I'm not sure where they're building. That would make sense. And the essentially the 10 models I think they rolled out yesterday, I think are called something the Beast or something, and that's running right around 99,000. The other two versions that are going to be a little cheaper. I think there's one that's going to come out in the 68,000 range. That one's not going to roll off the production line for I think another year or so, and then there's a middle version that's has a middle range that's kind of in between that 68 and 99,000 price point, and that one's not going to be rolling off the line till
Giga Texas
next year either.
There's a picture of all the workers standing around. Giga Texas is where the company also has its 10 million square foot factory floor to produce the Model Y and the Cybertruck. So California lost out on Tesla. Tesla had that big facility there. They're still building their Teslas there, but all new business is going elsewhere. And so there you go. I mean, Texas is the appropriate place, right, to be building trucks.
Yeah,
I just don't know if a farmer, a cattle rancher, is going to be throwing bales of hay out to the
out of a spaceship
to
truck?
The Angus cows out of his back of his Tesla Cybertruck.
It looks like some some Hot Wheel kids had when they were young. You know,
I mean, you show up to church in a Tesla, or you drive down the street in a, you're going to get more looks than in a Rivian.
Yeah, I want to know what the reflection is off of the sun here, off of the outside panels. I would consider cause a wreck on the Ravenel here.
I could see me driving a Cybertruck just as a novelty up and down the Highway 17 here. Salesforce was the stock yesterday. I updated my valuation on Salesforce today. I see an extreme valuation. Now, the stock is following through today, and that's why the Dow is up. The stock is hitting a new 52-week high, but you've got to give it a pretty rich multiple and PEG ratio to see that stock make sense from a valuation point of view. But it is following through today. It is up another 2%. It is a very extreme valuation here. For an 11% grower to be trading at that kind of a multiple, I'd be a little careful here with Salesforce. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. On this first day of December, the rotation that started yesterday, you know, I think that the NASDAQ represents growth stocks, okay, high growth stocks, and I think the Dow represents more of the dividend-paying cyclical-type stocks, although there are growth stocks in the Dow. But it's just the nature of the beast. Look at the difference in performance this year. You've got the NASDAQ up almost 30% and the Dow up only like 5%. Now, just the last 2 days, you've had the Dow clobbering the NASDAQ. Now, I don't know if that's the beginning of a new trend, but it's certainly something to keep your eye on. Maybe next year, Barry, it'll be more the dividend payers, lower PE stocks. Versus these hyper-growth stocks. NVIDIA would be the poster child of this year's hyper-growth stock, and Tesla also.
Well, and it would be nice, right, if you can get a little more breath. We've been talking about it pretty much all year, whether we're saying, mentioned the Magnificent 7 or 10 or, or the fact that breath has been real narrow in the market. And so, hopefully, right, you get, you can get a little bit of best of both worlds, hang on to some NVIDIA and be able to, have the rest of the market also participate, because otherwise it's a very narrow handful of winners out there, and that's it.
Well, and you could also say, though, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, because there's only right, eight fish in the barrel. We hit them all this year.
Yeah, pull the fish up, and everybody's shot a hole in it, right?
Next year's going to be a little bit tougher, and that's where the beststocksnowapp.com. Man, you know what? I really complimented those guys yesterday. I said, you finally nailed it. Of course, I had to really drive.
Yeah, they finally got there, huh?
They finally nailed it. They got my vision exactly. There's still a few screens I'd like to add. There's still a little bit of review and auditing that I need to do. But, man, I just clicked through there so quickly, and I have it. When I read about a stock on Seeking Alpha or on CNBC, I hear about a stock or financial, the Fox Business Channel, I can immediately click on that stock and see what the app says about it. I found a couple new ones yesterday that were pretty exciting, and there's definitely going to be a new buy today coming. I just made a sell during the break here. I'll be sending that out to our subscribers and clients that get the live updates. I sold one out of one of our portfolios, and I found one that I really like that will be replacing it, that I'm starting to see some new things. And, the other thing that is going to be a big aid here is clicking on, you can break down your searches by market cap. I would get away from the searches on the best mega caps now. I would start searching on the best large caps now, the best mid caps now, the best small caps now. And I think eventually I'm going to kind of separate between small cap value and growth, kind of, so you could fine tune that search a little bit more. But I'm telling you, I don't know of another quant system. And I'm going to make a big thing about that when I start the advertising on my app, and I plan on doing a lot of digital advertising and whatever else, but it's the only quant system I know that makes valuation half of the equation. The other quant systems are based solely on momentum and alpha and things like that. So,
and if they do exist, they're not sharing them with anyone.
No.
Right?
I personally think it's a major breakthrough in quant systems. And it would be very difficult to find it anywhere else out there. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you can see how these top-ranked stocks have done here in 2023. Okay, now, let's see. The Gigafactory, all right. So that was a big story for the, you know, there was a long-anticipated wait for the Cybertruck. And I do think, I think it's going to be a hit. Don't you think it's going to be a big hit because of the novelty of it?
Yeah, I mean, as long as they can roll them off the line, that's the key. I mean, they have a million, you know, they have over a million orders, right? And so, you know, depending on, they just delivered 10, right? So how do we get through the million, right? And so that's it's all about production and being able to ramp up production and roll them off the line.
Yes, and I do think that I think it's going to hurt Rivian big time. I really do. I think that I would, like I say, it's a heck of a lot flashier.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, even on the Rivian, it's almost, you know, I still got to look at it a couple of times to figure out if it's, you know, if it actually is a Rivian,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
instead
it looks
of some
like
other
just
truck,
an ordinary truck, really.
But if, yeah, but if you see the, you know, it's kind of like you think of the Hummer too. If you see, you know, you see the Hummer coming down the road, you know, it's a Hummer. If you see that Cybertruck coming down the road, you're going to know that's what you're looking at.
That's probably the most unique design out there right now on the road. I can't wait to see a Cybertruck. All right, now, also, just speaking of Elon Musk, he had some very choice words for Bob Iger yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you think? I can't say those on here. You have to look that up yourself.
Who was he being interviewed by?
It was a panel, so he was up on, I'm trying to remember what the event was, but he was, you know, it was basically a panel, and Bob Iger spoke earlier in the day at the conference, and then so when he's like, you know, basically he's, you know, basically was talking to Bob, assuming that he might be in the crowd.
Yes, so. And not advertising on X.
Yeah.
And, well, anyways, Musk has always been says it like it is. He doesn't hold back. Microsoft
basically
president,
told him to go take a long walk on a short bridge.
Yes.
In a handful of less words than that.
Yep. So. Yep. Well, last week we were worried about Sam Altman and the end of humanity. Well, Microsoft President Brad Smith is reassuring us. He says there's no chance of super intelligent AI soon. Okay, so AI is artificial intelligence. AGI is human-like, godlike intelligence, which, you know, that was the reason that he was fired, Altman, because apparently they had made a big breakthrough that he didn't really disclose. And now, I mean, Brad Smith is walking this back. He's saying it could take years or decades before it becomes a reality, when last week we were thinking it was coming within the next 12 months. So I don't know what the truth is there, but they've definitely walked back the big breakthrough that Altman was hinting at. Not hinting at, but saying it's been made. I was there. He said only twice in my career was I in a room where a major breakthrough was made, and it happened here recently with AI moving toward AGI. I did watch a little bit of the, just because of the novelty of it, you've got two guys that don't seem to be leading contenders. I've never seen a presidential debate between two kind of non-contenders. You had you know, last night, Ron DeSantis, who is far behind in the polls, and you had Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who has not announced that he's running for president, but there may be some kind of plans for him. I watched it. I watched the first half hour. I don't think that Ron DeSantis is very good on TV. I don't think he's a very good debater. And, you know, I mean, what can I say? Newsom is just more polished. His mannerisms remind me a lot of Bill Clinton, you know, where you look right into the camera and you point and you're lying through your teeth. Right?
It's and a confident liar.
Yes, he flashes his teeth and his white teeth and his big smile and everything. He's a little bit of a scary guy for me. And I don't like what he could be standing in front of a homeless encampment in San Francisco saying, this is one of the most beautiful, see what I've done here for San. I don't like Gavin Newsom. Anyways, Cybertruck. Okay, Gavin Newsom. Now, all right, here's one to keep your eye on. Pfizer is working on a weight loss drug.
Yeah, and I was reading some info. It's an oral. That's probably something we shouldn't talk about on the radio either. Some of the side effects. It was throwing up and some stomach issues.
Pfizer is down and it's hitting a new 52-week low. But if you look into it, you know, that's all they're doing is they're finding that taking it twice a day was not working, and they're going to continue the study with once a day.
Yeah, and the difference is with that one is it's oral compared to the to the Lilly and Novo's version. That's that includes a needle, and I guess surveys folks said that, you know, they're kind of twice as likely to take one of these things if you can take a pill instead of getting a shot.
Yes. And the name of the drug is Danuglupron. I'm going to do a little research over the weekend. I have some people I know that are deep in the biotech industry and know a lot about these weight loss drugs. Could Pfizer be an under-the-cover here player and emerge with one of their own? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'll be sending the newsletter out. It's a big project. It's about 8 hours, 10 hours every Friday, Saturday morning. I want to make sure I've covered all the back alleys and waterways of the market before I send that thing out. The macro outlook updated every week. There hasn't been a whole lot of change recently in it. We were pretty much right on the money with our target price for the S&P 500 this year. And I think we've had a pretty good record since 2009. Barry, on December 31st and 31 more days, we're going to have a five-year track record of those portfolios that I started for Seeking Alpha, right, which we follow. For our clients also, so you can also see that and compare it with the averages and whatnot. So anyways, there could be a few little changes here. I'm seeing a little bit of a trend today. The Dow is all one stock again today, so I wouldn't give much credence to the breakout in the Dow myself, because it's just one stock. It's not really a broad-based advance. It's Salesforce again today. It was Salesforce yesterday. You looked at that 500-point gain in the Dow yesterday. It was basically Salesforce and United Healthcare and a little bit of Boeing. Boeing had a really good day yesterday. Today, the gain is all coming from Salesforce again, with just a little bit of Nike and a little bit of Chevron today. Pfizer's the big loser in the Dow today, down 4.6%, hitting a new 52-week low. Now, there's a good example of no 2 years being alike. How did Pfizer do in the COVID year? It was one of the best-performing stocks in the entire market, right?
Right.
Yeah. It and Moderna. And this year, they're a couple of the worst-performing stocks in the entire market. That's why, you have to lean a little bit towards the active side and not the passive side of the ledger.
Well, and things change. I mean, it's the markets ebbs and flows, and there's
rotation.
Stories change, for example, Pfizer was trying to catch up in the weight loss side of things, making an oral version, and they got some of their data. They were hurting folks' stomachs in both directions, and so they got to go back to the drawing board on that.
Well, you know, I think Lilly is on the verge of having an oral version of the weight loss drug. I think you'll see it early next year sometime. So yep. That would pretty much really be a big that would hurt Pfizer a lot.
Unless Pfizer can beat them to the punch, right?
I was reading on the Pfizer data, and I think they said causing vomiting in like 40-something% of folks who were testing it out, and I'm like, man, that had to be a rough study, right? drug study. We'll see how it.
Well, another stock impacting the market today, especially the tech stocks, is Dell. And Dell makes PCs, but it's everything that goes into the PCs: AMD chips, software,
Nvidia chips. Yeah.
So Dell's down 5% today. So that's kind of bringing down a lot of the tech stocks. They're not participating in the market, and that's something that the tech industry really watches: PC sales. The turnover rate probably of laptops, and there goes a dolphin up the river. Well, that's kind of cool to see at this time of year. And I've got a fisherman in my backyard going along, throwing lures at my trout, the sea trout, and my redfish. The redfish are gone. Talk about seasonality. The shrimp are gone. We've moved into a winter time, and it's a whole different ball game out there now on the Wando River, saltwater river. But anyways, people watch those PC sales, and the stocks that are involved in the PC sales are Microsoft, and of course, AMD, and Intel's down 3.5% today because Dell is mostly powered by Intel chips. So that's another thing. The winner today, I'm going to call the stock of the day Ulta Beauty. How about that? That's one of the bricks and mortar stores that's hanging in there. It's not, it was a $550. Now it's $450. It's down $100 per share from its high, but it's hanging in there. People like shopping at Ulta Beauty. And it's one of the survivors in that under siege bricks and mortar space. Ulta's up 10% after reporting a pretty good earnings report. The other one that kind of stands out to me today: Cigna and Humana. I think the theme is the low PE stocks are doing well today for the second day in a row, and the high PE stocks are selling off today for the second day in a row. Maybe there's a new trend starting up there. And then just one other one you could watch this year: the lithium, the copper, the mining stocks. They got creamed this past year. They're very low PE stocks. I guess the word there is commodities. Sometimes it hasn't happened yet, but I did see that there was good news out of China today on copper, and Freeport-McMoRan's having a very good day. It's up 4%. So we'll keep our eye there. Looking for rotation out of summer fishing, wide open fishing into winter fishing. It seems like that's the direction we're going right now in the market. Get the newsletter this week. You can get it coming to your house every morning to your email every Saturday morning. Even the scaled down version is full of information, useful information every week that we keep sending it to you after the two free weeks of the full enchilada, the whole enchilada newsletter, which has the portfolios, what we own, how they've done this year, how we're shaping them up for next year, our macro outlook, etc. To get two free weeks of the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us to review your current portfolio. How did you do in 2023? How does it compare with how we did? I don't know. We can check that for you. And we can see how you're positioned for 2024, because it's going to be a different kind of year from 2023. All right, you can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.